You are listening to Abiding Hope Church's podcast of our weekly sermons. For more information about our church, please visit abidinghope.org.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path. The birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for that what is sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So at one point in my life, I lived in Ohio. And while in Ohio, I bought a house. And I hated yard work until I owned a house. Because you don't own the house, it's sort of like your mom and dad are making you do it and you're just out there and you're getting messy. But when it's yours, you get excited about doing the yard work because you want your house to look great. And so we worked hard on that. We pulled out trees and bushes and shrubs, and we replanted areas and we reseeded grass and things like that. And in particular, we put along the front an herb garden. And I thought that, man, I must be the best gardener in the history of gardening. Because I put in a little bit of rosemary, and like within like, it felt like 2 weeks, it was like a bush. It was just huge. It came up and I was like, look at what I have done. Behold. And we had some basil next to it, and the basil just like took off. It just like became a shrub. We had to cut the basil back to keep it from going. I thought I was amazing at gardening. And then I moved to Colorado. And I can't make anything grow in this state. I don't know what it is. It's just, the problem is in Ohio, it is such fertile soil. The soil in Ohio just grows anything. And so you don't even have to try and things grow. But yet, they still have these incredible farms right outside of Columbus. It's really cool. Right as you drive outside, you see these incredible farms, these huge, huge operations. And they're just these perfect, neat rows, and you see everything growing up in aisles, and it's just beautiful. It's gorgeous, these huge farms. So I always was thinking about this as farming. That was sort of my idea of farming. I grew up in Florida. The farming there was orange groves and cattle, so it wasn't like that kind of farming. So in my idea, farming looked like what it did in Ohio. So this text never made sense to me, right? It seems just sort of silly. It said a sower went out to sow some seeds. Now, the way I sow seeds is I find my place, I make sure it's the right distance from the other things. I dig down into that place. I place some good soil at the bottom, maybe some compost. I add a little fertilizer. I stick it inside, put good topsoil on top, pat it down, make sure it's watered really well several times while until it seems to take root, and then it grows. As best as I can in Colorado, it grows, right? So here's this willy-nilly ding-dong who's just kind of like running around going, rah, rah, where it just says, the sower went out to sow wheat, and it just went everywhere. And I was always like, this text makes no sense. This person doesn't know what they're doing. They're an idiot. They're dumb. But then I went to Israel. And while I was in Israel, we were driving out to a little farm town out on the West Bank in Palestine. And we saw these hillsides that had crops growing on them. But the crops were all mishmash. They were all kind of all over the place. And there were paths that wound in and out, up and down the hillside where they would plant things. And we actually saw a person out there, and they had this huge sack on their side, and they were just reaching in and going like this, and just throwing seed left and right. You see, when you're in Ohio, and you have rain all the time, and there aren't rocks, and the soil's great, you can be particular. But in Israel, you just gotta hope. You just gotta hope that the seed will land where it's supposed to land. And so Jesus tells us, what I love is that Jesus sees this one day, sees the sower doing what they did all the time there, and said, you know, the word of God is like that sower who went out and sowed things. And all of that seed lands on all sorts of different kinds of things as it does. Some lands next to rocks and the soil's not deep and it tries to come up, but it withers away. Some lands right on the path, because as they go this, as they're walking, lands right on the path and the birds love it, and so they come in and swoop it and snatch it and take it away. Some lands among weeds. Some lands among the thistles. Some lands among much hardier breed, and so they choke it. They don't get a chance to come up. But every once in a while, that soil lands on good soil. That seed lands on good soil. And when it does, it grows. It's just like a miracle that it finds somewhere to be. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And then he goes on to describe this story and saying that the seed is like the word of God. And where it lands in all sorts of different places and spaces in life and in people. And it comes in all sorts of ways. And let's be honest, all of us in our hearts have all of that soil. Are you with me? All of us have good soil, and all of us have rocky places. All of us have weeds, and all of us have the path where we're trying to get by. And so in thinking about this, there's three things that we can take away. First of all, what does this, if the word of God is that seed, what does this tell you about the word of God and how God uses the word of God? Not a rhetorical question. What does this tell you about what God does with God's word? Anyone? Not a rhetorical question. I'm asking you. It's everywhere, right? It's not specific. It's not secret. It doesn't need to be found. It's not hidden. It's not put away in a bushel basket. It's not saved for a particular place. It's not that God goes and looks for just the good soil and makes sure it lands in the right place. It's not, God is not particular. God is not specific. God is saying it's everywhere. The word of God is spread everywhere, and God is liberal with what God does with that seed. I mean, seed can be expensive. Yes, those of you who plant, seed can be expensive, but God has no concern for that. And God freely lets it go everywhere. So the first thing that tells you about is the heart and mind of the sower. The sower who says, oh, for everywhere and everything and everyone, there is a word, and that word goes out liberally. So that's a beautiful thing. So it tells you something about the character of the sower. The second thing that I want to be clear about, Jesus does talk about how this snatches up in this place, and you know, some people get it and some people don't, and some people thrive and some people get it for a minute and then they fall apart, and some people are snatched away and stuff. But this isn't really just like a lesson about you. So you better have some good soil, y'all. It's really saying that honestly, all of that's inside us. And all of us have moments where it hits us, right? Where you have that moment where, oh, this is clear. This is the word of God. This is happening. And other times you're like, I'm too busy. I'm going to go. You know, all of us have had those moments. So let's think about how those things are. There are times in our lives, there are times that we move in our lives, and I like to think of these as seasons, that we have seasons in which we live and operate, that things are working in us and around us. And just like seasons that you're planting in a garden, I would never plant watermelon in January, right? That there are seasons by which our life moves and flows. And those seasons are sometimes seasons that we pick, and then sometimes we have no choice of what that season is. Sometimes it's just the season that it is, and we have to kind of just live with that season. And so sometimes the word comes to us, and sometimes it lands on the path. It lands in a space where it's really just, it blows away, other things distract it, and it might have come to you, and you might have heard it, and you might have understood it for a second, but then you're just too busy, there's too much going on, and off you go. I've had times like that. I've had seasons like that where I'm like, I'm too busy. I gotta keep moving, Lord. And the Lord's saying, slow down. I'm like, I can't slow down to hear you, Lord. I'm moving. And it's as if that word doesn't land. And it's usually at that point I get sick. Are you with me? And then I'm like, well, I guess I have to slow down now, don't I, Lord? I'm sorry. Sometimes it lands among rocky places, shallow soil, where I'll get it for a little bit and I'll understand it and it'll make sense to me. But then my life moves on, or that season is over, or I can't maintain that, or whatever. It lives for a moment, but then it has its time and then it's gone. There's times when I want that seed to grow in me so much, but I have so many other things, distractions, things going on in my life, and they all choke out that season out of me, and I can't listen and wrestle with the word. But I'll tell you, every season, I have a season where I have good soil, where there's something in me that's growing. There's something in me that there's thriving, that there's some word that's working in me and on me, and it's actually growing. Let me give you an example. Here's a great example. So when I was younger, I had some friends who started really getting into meditation. Maybe you've heard me talk about meditation before, but they were really getting into meditation. And the first time I heard about meditation, I was like, no, thank you. You know, it was like, that's not, I'm not going to do it. That makes, it's like, what I had this vision, like you had to find a field and go om and become one with the universe, and you're going to astral project out of your body. And I was just like, that just sounds crazy. And let me be honest, I thought they were making it up. I'm like, surely you're not that chill. You know, surely you're just pretending that you're that chill. And so I wasn't ready for it. It was a season that I was not ready for. In fact, at that time, my prayer life was very specific. I had 6 bullet points that I prayed through every time I prayed, and I worked through that, and I had a very strict form that I went to do this, and this is what I went to do when I prayed, and I had this thing and I was really excited about it. That's where my season was that kind of prayer. And I'll be honest with you, I still do pray those 6 things. I use the Lord's Prayer and flow through that Lord's Prayer while I pray, but that was the season. And then through some work with my spiritual director and a therapist and working on myself and realizing that I was really anxious and hurting and in pain, they brought up to me, they said, Jade, I think you're trying too hard and you need to slow down and we need to talk about a new way of praying. And she introduced to me an idea that was called contemplative prayer or meditation or Lectio Divina, where you sit and you be quiet. And she dispelled all the myths for the reasons that I couldn't do it before, that I couldn't pray that way before. She got rid of the whole, no, you don't sit in a field and say om, and you don't astral project, and you don't become one with the universe. All you're doing is slowing down the chattering voices in your brain that are quieting the still small voice that's speaking to you. So all it is sitting and breathing. Can you do those 2 things? And I said, yes, I can do those 2 things. And so I started to sit and breathe and started to sit in my own quiet and in my own thoughts. And for a long time, my brain would kind of pshoo, pshoo, pshoo. But over time, I've learned to just rest, to release, to relax, to just count my breaths in, count my breaths out. And when my brain starts to go, just to say, that's okay, bye. And then I just welcome myself back into my body. And suddenly what hit me before as rocky soil, something that hit me in a space that didn't make sense, it found good soil. It found good soil in me, and it found fruitfulness in me. And suddenly the thing that didn't work before was something that I was drawing a spiritual life and growth out of. And so this seed, it's not like this one time God's going to come to you, one seed's going to hit you, you better have good soil at that time. If you don't, God's out, you're out of luck. This is a seed that's coming to us. A life in Christ is coming to us. It's flowing to us. This news comes to us. I mean, you're coming to church again. You've heard the story. Jesus died. Jesus rose. Jesus rose to set you free. Is that the first time you've heard that? Probably not. But there are times when it hits us anew, that it lands somewhere fresh in us. And we suddenly say, oh, that's right. And if this is true, then we must live a new way. And what's the new way that I'm called to live? And so we move into a new season of fruitfulness. We also come in here sometimes when we're like, I don't know what I think. I don't know what I believe. I'm struggling. I'm hanging on. I'm holding. I'm just barely getting by. I've got questions that I'm wrestling with. I'm grieving. I've got people in my life that are hurting. And we sit in here. But here's the thing. We still come to this space. We still come to this space in whatever season that you're in so that we can carry you and hold you together. That whatever season you're in, you are welcome here. And that the word of God isn't going to come to you once, but it's going to continue to fly and float towards you. And it's going to continue to come to you liberally and miraculously. And our work is simply to see the good soil. Where is the fruitfulness? Where am I growing? Where is the new idea? How am I living out of this new thing? What am I learning right now? And how can I lean into that rather than, well, I really want watermelons, but I've got cucumbers. How do I appreciate the cucumbers? Leaning into that fruit, leaning into that season of my life. I really want a strong prayer life, but I've really just got a good community life right now. So letting that season go so that I can lean into the good soil of this season. Does that make sense? Are you following with me? I love this text. It's a beautiful little text. And I think it's a reminder to us not to get into some sort of improvement cycle, but instead just to see, where are we experiencing fruitfulness? Where is God doing a new thing for you right now? What do we see happening around us? And even if your season is hard, even if you're in a difficult season, to look into that season and say, God is with me, and maybe the fruit isn't my situation, but maybe it's the people supporting me. Maybe it's discovering a new way of sitting in this space and grieving, being in pain. Maybe it's just simply about acknowledging the season and grasping it. Whatever season you're in right now, maybe you've just had a great anniversary, right, Whites? Maybe you've had a wonderful anniversary and you're in a season where you're appreciating one another. Celebrate that. Acknowledge that. Bear the fruitfulness of that. Maybe you're in a season where you're watching parents in pain and struggling. Bear that. Walk with that. Carry that. It's holy ground, even in the pain of that season. It's a difficult time. Carry that season and know that the word of God is present and with you and walking with you. And you don't need to work for it. It's coming. It's coming. So bring your seasons again this week. Come again to the table where those seeds have planted wheat and grapes, there to feed us and remind us again anew that Christ is with us and that we are God's. If you'll pray with me. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, on paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out in good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. In the name of love, whose name is Jesus. Amen.